What to you is the most depressing thing for you about living through this pandemic? What, if anything, or who, if anyone, has helped you deal with any pandemic-related despair? And then what is the most hopeful thing about living through this pandemic? So two things. What's the most depressing? What's the most hopeful part of this?
Well, I think the most depressing for me is that we don't have church and we don't have our church family where we can see them all the time. And that's really, I think that's a big part of our lives. And, you know, it's just, it's different.
I was thinking about
my mom, because my mom's still alive and she's in an assisted living place and she can't see us or anything, but she seems to be pretty okay. I mean, she doesn't seem to be real depressed or anything. And sometimes I think about when she first got married, she was very young, barely 18. And my dad was working three jobs and going to school. Mm-hmm. And she had a new baby after the first year they were married. They had no money, you know, and, you know, she's just always been one of those people that sort of sucks it up and does, you know, moves along. And I don't know, she just sort of rises to what she has to do and she doesn't complain about it.
Yeah.
Sort of. It's kind of a good lesson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's had several things in her life that have, you know, not been great. And she just seems to, I don't know, she's pretty strong, I think.
That's great.
I was going to say that I'm, a lot of you know that I'm kind of a touchy-feely type of person. And I think one of the things that, it doesn't depress me. It just makes me sad that I can't be that person. I can't hug people and I can't hold people and touch them. That's just how I communicate normally. And so it's awkward. It's difficult. And then afterwards, I'm sad about it because I don't feel like I connected with the person the way I usually do. And I think that's sad. But I also think that, when I get that way, when I feel sad that way, that really, I think it's the knowledge and security that I have that even though all of this has changed for all of us, God hasn't changed and mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the same exactly today and tomorrow and yesterday. And that's really where our hope is found. Nothing less, nothing more. And so at the end of the day, which one is bigger? I think that those things for me help with balance because it's not all puppy dogs and roses. On the other hand, it's not all doom and gloom. And so I don't think in that way it's changed from even before COVID. You know, there were good things and there are bad things. There are still good things and bad things. And I do think there's balance and I do think there's equilibrium for us if we look for it.
Awesome.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I have a concern.
Yeah.
And really that concern is we're talking about public health. Why is there so much division on something that it's impossible to be political? It's public health. It's really, really disturbing to me and not normal. It is not normal for people to be so selfish that there is no overriding concern or unity.
Okay. That's kind of covered in the discussion, Bob. And maybe that's a good segue. I don't know if I have it in my notes here, but I heard a pastor talking about this, and I don't know if I'm touching on where you're headed here, Bob, but I'll read it here. Here's a thought on that. Just want to throw it out there. there are cultural differences in how people respond to COVID protocols. Many Asian and African cultures are in a we culture. They think communally. We had a Rotary presentation last month that covered the country of Senegal. And what do you, how do you think COVID cases are going in Senegal? There isn't an outbreak. I mean, it's growing, but what we heard from the report on the ground was Senegal, people tend to think communally how something's going to affect the community. In America, we tend to live in an I culture. So celebrates individualism over community. So I don't know if that gets to what you're saying, but I think what I've noticed, some people think what's best for me and what do I need? Some people tend to think what's best for the community. Thoughts on that? I mean, do you think?
What's hard for me is that, you know, the attitude that, well, if I get it, I get it, you know, so that's the way it is. But they don't think about those people that are on the front lines having to take care of them when they get it. And what's happening to, you know, those people that are just like exhausted from caring for other people. It just seems so selfish.
I think our incoming president said one day, wearing a mask is not a political thing. It's a patriotic thing. And I think that, to me, made a lot of sense. Because like people say who, if I get it, I get it. They don't think of the next person who will get it or the thousands of people after that. And they just are, well, like you said, they're thinking of themselves only and not how they're affecting other people. And to me, there should be nothing political about this. If people, for their own sake, for their family, for their friends, for the nation, should think about the health of everybody, not politically, but just health-wise.
Yeah. It's hard, you know, as a reflection, I've heard from a few people that have made the statement that because peace is asking people to wear masks, we are political. I've heard that from members.
Well, even worse than that, Pastor, I've had people say that we live in fear at Peace Lutheran, and I totally disagree with that. But just because we are taking precautions, and which I think intuitively makes a lot of sense, I am not living in fear, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Kay makes a great point, and I think there's another, you know, depending on which state that you're in, you could be anywhere between 1.2 and 1.4 people infected besides you. So the point is, if you don't want to think about yourself or even the greater community, think about those other 1.2 to 1.4 people that you're going to infect before you even know it. So if I get it, I get it. Yeah, but if you get it, you get it, and you give it to somebody on the average. That's just on the average. There are super spreaders, of course, you've heard about. But everybody, on average, is going to give it to somebody else unknowingly. And so I think that that illustrates and highlights that point. Why should we care? Well, that's why we should care whether we get it. That's another point, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That highlights what Kay was saying. Okay. Lots of good discussion here. Let's go ahead and close out our time. Any other thoughts or anything that you want to share as well? There's lots of avenues we could go with this.
This has been a great class, Pastor. Great class.
Yeah. we're talking about some serious stuff. I think one thing, one takeaway that maybe we could do is just to challenge you guys is to think about someone that what I'm going to take away is that idea of bridging the gap with people that don't know how to operate technology and bring that up to the council and bring that up to the elders. I think that was a really good thought. But I'm wondering if on your end, if you could reach out to one person that might be, you know, at Bible study, I don't know, maybe they don't get the email or who knows, and just invite them to come back into the Bible study. So, or find out what's causing you not to join. You know, is there a way that we could help, you know, bridge that gap with something?
I want to tell you, I do not have a smartphone because I don't think I could handle one. But I still can get, I can get on Zoom chats on my non-smartphone. So if I can do that, as long as you have an email on the phone, it'll get you there, or it will get me there. So I can do that too.
Yeah, I think there's something else just to mention real quick, Pastor, and that's about this group here every week. If we think about the, I guess, the situation at our church, you know, we still meet with the elders once a month. We still meet with the council. But if you think about the ongoing activity that normally happened around the church, there was so much communication and it was in person. And the drivers of the church were those in-person chants and regular meetings that happened all the time. Mm-hmm. If we think about where we are now, this is what is replacing that. And this meeting that you have Sunday mornings are the connection that we can have personally, not only with you, but with each other. And I think that just highlights how valuable. I know this is, I look forward to this thing that we do here, this Sunday school thing, more than anything all week. So yeah. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. And we're going to try and do Tuesday. So there are other things. Let's not be doing, but I just want to share some things that are happening. Our youngest age Sunday school has about 12 to 15 kids on a Zoom call every week. Our confirmation is meeting Zoom. We have 5 kids every week. I meet with them every week. And they're in it, and it's going pretty well. We have men's Bible study. We're looking at doing some more Zoom on Tuesday nights just to check in for people. But again, these are all just, you know, we're trying to do the best we can, but boy, that technology gap, if someone, their speakers don't work or they're uncomfortable, that is a stinker. And I've heard that from a lot of different people. So I think the suggestion of having a group to maybe help someone get their technology in place is an excellent idea. I wish we would have thought of that earlier. So we had one person call in this, I mean, and they didn't realize they were hitting the link for the Bible class. They thought they were hitting the link for the service. They accidentally hit the Bible class, and they were up on the screen for one Sunday school class. And later that afternoon, I called this person, and I said, boy, it was nice to see you. They had no idea that they were being on a camera.
Oops.
And they were very offended because they thought, how could you look into my house? How dare you? And so there is just this gap of doing this. And so the person came around and they, you know, we had a humorous discussion, but you're right. The gap in technology is a tough one.
Years ago, Kay told me, I said, how do you know all these technology things? And she said, if I want to communicate with my grandchildren, I have to keep up with all that, for which I thank you, Kay. And also, I just fascinated, and I think it's wonderful. I haven't kept up as well with my grandchildren that way, but I can Zoom with them, and I can text and talk to them. And so that's a help for me. But I wish we could all be okay and be able to keep on learning like you do.
I'm way behind. Just saying. Oh, but been out of it for too long.
You do a good job.
Yeah. All right, guys.
You know, Jay, this is Alicia.
Yep.
I would just say we can also send out the One Touch mobile link for Zoom that you don't even have to do the meeting ID. You just hit the mobile link. Does the password for you. That's what I use with a lot of my volunteers. So that if they have a smartphone, we're only sending out the Zoom link instead of the whole invitation, you know? So that's another thing that we might look into. That's easier.
Does that keep people away from attending?
No, because if you have a cell phone, you just hit the mobile link, then it enters the ID for you on your cell phone.
Gotcha. Okay.
That would be great.
Sounds like you're volunteering, Alicia.
Yeah.
He doesn't like my jokes.